94.5 WELY, it's the end of the road radio. I'm Brett Ross with our weekly wilderness update, brought to you by the BWCAW Coalition, funded by Lake County and St. Louis County, and focused on the prevention and impact of invasive species. And joining me today is the Aquatic Invasive Species Program Coordinator with Minnesota Sea Grant, Doug Jensen. Doug, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Brett.
Well, I know you're very busy, so I appreciate you eking out some time for us today. If you could give us a brief overview of Minnesota Sea Grant and then talk some specifics about your role within the program.
Sure. Well, I'm with the University of Minnesota Sea Grant program, so we are like a department within the university, but we're also unique in that we're a federal-state partnership. So we receive money through the Department of Commerce and NOAA to basically fund research that relates to the coastal areas of Lake Superior and then also to our inland waters. And so based on that research that we fund and we also conduct, then we conduct outreach based on that research.
Okay. And so through your research, can you talk about some of the findings that you made and some of the programs that you've implemented to help get the word out about it?
Sure. Well, by and large, boaters and anglers are doing a really good job in terms of preventing the spread. And we've known for quite some time that the Boundary Waters canoe area and the areas around Ely and northeastern Minnesota are at risk for aquatic invasive species. But across this region, we're one of the least invaded areas of the state. And so we need to take advantage of that before some of these species, like zebra mussels and Eurasian water milfoil and the dreaded starry stonewort, invade our area. So partnering with different organizations in the area to help get the message out is really important so that people take the responsibility to basically stop aquatic hitchhikers and clean, drain, dry their boat.
Now, we've seen some pretty headline-worthy stories about invasive species of late. The most recent relates to a lake near where I grew up, where they found football-sized goldfish in the lake. And then I recall this spring, a story about some retail pet stores that were selling moss balls for aquariums that were found to be infected with zebra mussels.
Yes, I was deeply involved with that because at the national level, I'm the co-chair for the Aquatic Nuisance Species Task Force Outreach Subcommittee. And so what we're trying to do is to get out guidance to retail and also to consumers through the Fish and Wildlife Service to get the message out so that they can mitigate a spread and reduce their risk for potential spread into the environment.
So that sort of highlights how at a commercial level there are invasive species being introduced, not directly into the ecosystem, but introduced to consumers who then can sort of introduce them to the ecosystem.
Yeah, it was quite a novel pathway in terms of its introduction in the United States. There were 17 distributors and coming into the United States largely through Canada, as I understand. And then they were getting distributed to warehouses where then they would be packaged up and distributed. And the problem was these algae balls, or moss balls as they're called, were contaminated with zebra mussels both on the inside and the outside. And it took a Petco staffer in the state of Washington that noticed it and then reported it to the U.S. Geological Survey. And then the word got out. So there was a pretty massive response in terms of trying to get the message out to the industry and also for consumers.
Well, kudos to that employee for spotting that, and I think it just shows how important education is to preventing the spread of invasive species.
Yeah, education is very important. And in response to that issue, too, we recognize that many of the small-scale retailers, such as pet stores and water gardens, nurseries, floral stores, and even home decor, could be carrying these moss balls. And so the Duluth area, our cooperative invasive species management area, banded together and made some cold calls to about 70 different businesses in northeastern Minnesota. And fortunately, we found there was very low risk because none of them were selling the moss balls, just the big box stores, including Petco, PetSmart, and Walmart. But they immediately took those products from their stores and also off their internet sites.
Well, it's good to know that there's an awareness out there and that steps are being taken to help prevent those avenues of introduction of invasive species. Can you talk a little more specifically about the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness? As you mentioned, we're relatively free from invasive species right now. Can you talk about the potential risks and how best to mitigate those?
Sure. There's a variety of different species that are either in the area or pose risk to the area. Probably the species that's most widespread that people are most familiar with is the rusty crayfish. And the problem with the rusty crayfish is that it's larger, it's more aggressive. It can also hybridize with our native crayfish. But the thing that people will be most noticeable with is that it can clear cut out aquatic vegetation. And so it's certainly something that you don't want. Spiny water flea is also in the area, and it is a consumer of plankton, so it can cause bottleneck effects in terms of food chain and food for fish. And then there's other species that include Eurasian water milfoil. We just got a couple of infestations in the area, and then another invasive plant called curly leaf pondweed, and there's also a couple species of invasive snails. And then, of course, the poster child is the zebra mussel. And fortunately, we just have zebra mussels and only in Pike Lake down here near Duluth, mm-hmm. and then in Lake Orbegon up on the range.
Okay. And then can you talk
to that? So that's kind of the extent of the types of species that we have in the area.
Sure. And then can you talk about some of the specific programs to help educate the public and what sort of buy-in you get from more local organizations to help get the word out about that?
Yeah, where Sea Grant has really been placing our emphasis is through partnerships. And I've said this since beginning with aquatic invasive species. Everything that we've ever done on aquatic invasive species has been because of cooperation. And so reaching out to other local lake associations has absolutely been paramount because then they can carry the message forward in their local communities. And there's a couple of local groups with the Burnside Lake Association and also the Wider Engineer Lake Association as well as Lake Vermilion that have been doing an awesome job in helping to get the word out to the their members and also in their communities.
If you ever head to a boat landing in the region, you definitely notice the signs, and we notice a lot of volunteers that are spending their time at the boat landings to help educate people and to help with the actual cleaning off of any aquatic vegetation, make sure that people are doing the proper clean, drain, and dry steps.
Sure. Yeah, listeners may not know, but Minnesota was the first state in the nation to have a watercraft inspection program at water accesses. And last year, there was over 700 inspectors, including those hired by DNR and also local units of government. Was down just a little bit last year because of COVID and hiring issues, but they inspected collectively over 611,000 watercraft, and that's the most in the nation. So. And that includes inspections that are going on here in northeastern Minnesota.
That's outstanding. With the level of pride we take in our lakes here in Minnesota, we ought to be the leader in that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So and we've also been a leader in promoting the Stop Aquatic Hitchhiker campaign. And so partners like those groups that I just mentioned have been helping to get the message out. And in part, we've also learned what are some of the best ways to get the message out to boaters and anglers and signs at water accesses. And so I'm working on a project to develop a sign that will be posted at trailheads as well as lakes to help get the word out and to ask kayakers and canoers and visitors to boundary waters to make sure that they take action so they're not preventing the spread of aquatic invasive species into the boundary waters.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important piece. I think a lot of people associate that spread of invasive species with motorboats, fishing boats, things like that. And maybe it's not so much on the minds of people when they're traveling by kayak and canoe. It seems to have less of a footprint, but it can have just as big of an impact when it comes to transporting invasive species from one lake to another.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're a canoer or a kayaker, make sure that you're cleaning off any visible plants, any animals that are from the watercraft, from the hulls, and also from fishing gear and footwear. Make sure that you're draining and wiping water from the watercraft, and also removing any water from the bait buckets, and then replacing with water just enough to with filtered water, boiled water, for the bait to be able to survive to your destination, and make sure that you dry everything as best as you can in between water bodies. Taking those actions are very effective in helping to prevent the spread of aquatic invasive species.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for sharing that information and a really important message out there to everyone. And we do our best to try and bring that home to every one of our listeners as they head out into the wilderness and they're on the water to make sure that they follow those important steps to help prevent those invasive species from spreading.
Yep. An important thing to remember is that most of the BWCAW and the area of waters are not infested with the aquatic invasive species, and we certainly want to keep it that way.
Absolutely. Well said. Well, thank you very much, Doug Jensen. Doug Jensen is the Aquatic Invasive Species Program Coordinator with Minnesota Sea Grant for the University of Minnesota. It was a pleasure to speak with you today, Doug. Thank you so much.
My pleasure as well. Thank you.
All right. And that's our weekly Wilderness Update, brought to you by the BWCAW Coalition in partnership with federal, state, nonprofit, and business organizations to prevent the introduction of aquatic invasive species into the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness. This is the End of the Road Radio, WELY.